101.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Good morning and thanks so much for tuning in. It's 10 a.m. and coming up next is EcoLogic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert. Please stay tuned.
Pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for EcoLogic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is EcoLogic for Wednesday, March 20th, 2023.
When your air and water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
This week, we have lots of stories for you instead of a single focus, along with the voices of Rachel Carson, Chief Warren Lyons, and Helen Caldicott from 3CD Set Women and the Environment. We'll talk about microplastics in our bodies,
the corporate hashtag World Without Nature campaign,
new washer-dryer efficiency standards,
artificial intelligence,
a birding portal,
bees waking up,
Antarctic ice,
Kleenex and PFAS,
the fossil fuel treaty,
a Chicago lawsuit,
the New Jersey Green Amendment,
NTI artists and activists,
and how to recycle labels.
We try to start every show with good news. We have previously reported on the fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. Currently, there are three states signed on, California, Hawaii, and as of January, Maine signed on, just after the city of Key West. FossilFuelTreaty.org explains the treaty's goals. As a complement to current global climate treaties, a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty would hold governments and the fossil fuel industry accountable for impacts on lives and livelihoods from the burning and production of oil, gas, and coal. More than 100 subnational governments have endorsed the treaty, the states being part of the recent wave of signatures. The cities and subnational campaign coordinator said, "It is the communities that are feeling the most acute effects of climate change that will carve out a pathway to a sustainable future for all. Coastal storms, wildfires, and rising sea levels are threatening their lives and livelihoods. And through the power of local leadership, they are signaling that change is both needed and possible." The new signers join 12 countries, 9 Peruvian indigenous nations, more than 2,500 civil society organizations, and over 500,000 individual signers.
In a related story, EcoWatch.com's Kristen Hemingway Janes reports on a Chicago Sun-Times article on a lawsuit brought by Chicago against 5 fossil fuel companies, Chevron, BP, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, and Shell, and a trade association, American Petroleum Institute, for misleading residents, saying that they not only deceived the public, but also discredited science as the climate crisis escalated. In a press release from the Office of the Mayor, Mary Richardson Lowry, Corporation Counsel for the City of Chicago, says, evidence shows that these defendants intentionally misled Chicago residents about the climate change-related dangers associated with their oil and gas products. If unabated, climate change could result in catastrophic impacts to our city. We bring this lawsuit to ensure that the defendants who have profited from the deception campaign bear responsibility for their conduct, end quote. The suit filed in Cook County Circuit Court alleges 10 causes of action, including negligence, failure to warn, public nuisance, civil conspiracy, and unjust enrichment. The city is asking that the oil companies and the association be held responsible for the cost of infrastructure needed to adapt to climate change, as well as damage to property. This is the start of a long road. Let's hope they win.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of attacks on nature and our access to it, such as closings of local parks, attempted congressional shrinkage of national parks, mining companies getting rubber stamp permits to mine in national parks, and repeated attacks on the Endangered Species Act. Now some corporations and sports teams are fighting back, making a political statement by removing natural elements from their logos, plants or animals, on March 3rd, World Wildlife Day. Natalie Fear writes on creativeblock.com, that's creative, B-L-O-Q, about a number of corporations that have joined the World Wildlife Fund's hashtag World Without Nature campaign to highlight the dramatic loss of biodiversity and the risks that it poses. We link to both websites on our own website, ecoradio.org.
Rachel Carson is credited with starting the modern environmental movement with her 1962 book, Silent Spring.
In December 1962, Pacifica Radio recorded Rachel Carson speaking before the National Women's Press Club. Rachel Carson described some of the unsavory alliances between pesticide manufacturers and supposedly objective scientists.
Just an example or two gleaned at random from the Journal of Economic Entomology. A paper from the University of Wisconsin carries the note, this research was also supported in part by grants from the Shell Chemical Company, Velsicol Chemical Corporation, and Wisconsin Canners Association. Another paper from the Illinois Natural History Survey declares this investigation was sponsored by the Monsanto Chemical Company of St. Louis, Missouri. Research supported by the pesticide manufacturers is not likely to be directed at discovering facts unfavorable to the continuance of current practices. Such a liaison between science and industry is a growing phenomenon that's seen in other areas as well. For example, the American Medical Association, through its newspaper, has just referred physicians to a pesticide trade association for information to help them answer patients' questions about the effects of pesticides on man.
Everything Rachel Carson was talking about there has only gotten worse and more institutionalized, the new normal. That points out the dire need for Ecologic, WBAI, and the Pacifica Network. The corporations putting their fingers into scientific research will never give money to this station, your station. That's why listener-supported radio exists and must continue, something started by Pacifica all the way back in 1949. If you're as big a fan of Rachel Carson as we are, you'll want the Women's History Month thumb drive for a priceless hour of Ms. Carson dealing oh so effectively with her critics, corporate spokesmen, and the politicians they bought. Besides Rachel Carson, the thumb drive contains another 49 hours of and about important women, such as Margaret Mead, Emma Goldman, Helen Caldicott, Molly Ivins, Lena Horne, Sarah Vaughan, Amy Goodman, and many others. This month only, new BAI buddies get the Women's History Drive as thanks for their generous commitment. It's a great deal with a tote bag and a WBAI voting membership thrown in for just $10 or $15 a month. Call 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org. Those of you who are already our buddy, the thumb drive can be yours for a donation of $100.
It's always good to hear of government support of energy efficiency. After all, it's the cheapest and fastest way to lower our energy needs and greenhouse gas footprints. An article by Paige Bennett on EcoWatch.com reports that the Department of Energy, or DOE, has announced that as of March 1st, new efficiency standards for washing machines and dryers went into effect. They say it will save Americans $2.2 billion annually. Cutting energy and water use saves money, especially for dryers, where you'll save nearly half of what you spend now, as well as lessening climate chaos. DOE said they got support from industry leaders and consumer advocates, and that there are already washers and dryers meeting the new standards. Yay.
AI is not a climate solution. A recent article in The Guardian noted that the amount of energy it uses will overwhelm any savings, and its use for spreading disinformation is also dangerous. The article is about a report by the Climate Action Against Disinformation Coalition. Michael Kuh, from coalition member Friends of the Earth, said, "We seem to be hearing all the time that AI can save the planet, but we shouldn't be believing this hype. It's not like AI is ridding us of the internal combustion engine. People will be outraged to see how much more energy is being consumed by AI in the coming years, as well as how it will flood the zone with disinformation about climate change," end quote. The burgeoning electricity demands of AI means that a doubling of data centers to help keep the pace with the industry will cause an 80% increase in planet heating emissions. Even if there are measures to improve the energy efficiency of these centers, there is already evidence of the life of coal-fired power plants being prolonged. AI searches are very complex. They take 10 times the amount of energy as a standard internet search.
Boy. The UK Guardian has another alarming article, this one by Graham Redfern, on one aspect of just how bad the climate chaos has gotten, using information from the National Snow and Ice Data Center. Antarctic sea ice is alarmingly low for the third year in a row. The latest maximum extent was the lowest ever by 1 million square kilometers, and the latest minimum was the lowest ever, and the ice was thinner as well. That means several things. It means the Antarctic ecosystem has changed in ways that the animals who live there have not evolved to use. It means much less phytoplankton, the basis of the food chain for all animals who live there, including penguins, of course. It also means the Antarctic glacial ice on land will flow into the ocean more rapidly, meaning worldwide sea level rise, making storm surges worse everywhere. Some people may wonder how ice flowing into the ocean from Antarctica can raise sea levels in North America. Here's an analogy. When you put an ice cube into a bowl of water or soup, the liquid level in the whole bowl goes up, not just where you put the ice cube. Keep putting ice cubes in and the sides of the bowl will not be high enough. When you step into a bathtub, the water level goes up in the entire tub, not just where you put your foot in. The higher the tub is filled, the more likely it will overflow when you get in. Icebergs falling into the ocean from Antarctica and Greenland and Alaska and Siberia are all raising sea level. What happens on one part of Earth affects many other places on Earth. Last year was the warmest year on Earth again, topping the recent record. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, predicts a likelihood that 2024 will be even hotter. Wildfires in February in Texas are bearing that out already, as is this past February being the hottest on record. The El Nino in the Pacific Ocean, it was mild last year and is stronger now, which will mean hotter temperatures worldwide. It's not hard to predict more wildfires and heat waves. And I predict that as Canadian wildfires burn up a lot of Christmas tree farms and prices go up, decisions will change and smaller trees or even plastic trees will be more popular.
Here's Charlie King with members of Bright Morning Star, putting into words what every activist knows. Our life is more than our work.
Look all around you, see all there is just to be alive about. Look all around you, please, look all around you. See all there is just to be alive. Oh, our life is more than our work, and our let yourself go. Oh, our life is more than our work, and our work is more than our job. No, our life is more than our work, and our work is more than our job.
That was Charlie King with Our Life is More Than Our Work. That song is appropriate to many WBAI shows. Speaking of many WBAI shows, your donations help every WBAI show.
Hey, when do the bees wake up? This from former beekeeper Lenny Labrizzi. Well, they're not actually asleep. They're actually busy. Of course, they're busy bees. They've been eating their stores of honey, and the female worker bees have been shivering in a ball in the hive to keep the queen warm. They begin to emerge from the hive for orientation flights and foraging once the temperature goes over 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Late winter, now, the queen bee begins laying eggs, and the workers begin brood rearing. The overwintering bees are all female. The first males will emerge in spring, 24 days after the drone cells are started.
Polluters can pop up in products you never considered. For instance, Kleenex. News provider Reuters reports that, quote, Kimberly-Clark has been hit with a proposed class action filed by Connecticut residents living near a facility where it makes Kleenex, accusing the consumer goods company of contaminating the properties and drinking water with toxic forever chemicals. The lawsuit, filed in Connecticut federal court in February, alleges that the company has used per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS, to make tissues in its factory in New Milford, Connecticut, and says that PFAS are released into the air via smokestacks and may seep into the ground via paper sludge dumped at a nearby landfill. A spokesperson for Kimberly-Clark said the company believes the lawsuit is unfounded. Well, sure they would. They said Kimberly-Clark does not use PFAS in its U.S. consumer products and plans to vigorously defend itself against the allegations. There is more to this than just a suit against one company. We need to stay aware of how prevalent PFAS are in manufacturing common items. Thousands of lawsuits have been filed against manufacturers of PFAS and the companies that use the chemicals to create a variety of products. Last year, over $11 billion of fines were imposed on companies that have manufactured the chemicals, including 3M, DuPont de Nemours, Chemours, and Corteva, for contaminating public water systems with PFAS. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, last year proposed the first ever enforceable drinking water limits for some of the toxic PFAS chemicals. Why not all of them?
Recently, the burninghotspots.org website added New York State as a portal. There was already one for New Jersey and for Connecticut. The site currently hosts 39 states plus the District of Columbia and includes other locations outside the United States. The site is updated automatically with new hotspots daily and is an excellent place for finding detailed descriptions supplied by editors and visitors to the website. Each hotspot includes tips for birding, birds of interest, about this location, and notable trails. There are additional checkboxes for restrooms on site, wheelchair accessible trail, roadside viewing, and entrance fee. And there's a dedicated place for displaying a map and a section for links related to the hotspot. Very user-friendly. Go to birdinghotspots.org and click on your region. Birdinghotspots.org.
And you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
It's Women's History Month, and our three CD set, Women and the Environment, is available to you for a $75 pledge. Lily Tomlin narrates a radio special about Dr. Helen Caldicott, and there is an entire CD of Vandana Shiva, a no-nonsense, hard-hitting environmental champion of agricultural safety. The set includes a talk by the environmental heroine, Rachel Carson, that has been excerpted from a one-hour radio show. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to get your copy of this great collection. And let's listen to one of the few men on the CD, Seneca Chief Orrin Lyons, who is still just as active as ever, and even wiser, if that's possible. It was recorded quite a while ago, before Native American or Indigenous person was the more accepted term, that Orrin Lyons referred to the Seneca as Indians as a reflection of the time. What he had to say is still just as applicable as it was when it was recorded.
From the past, through the present, to the future, the Indians believed in harmony with nature and in life, in the sacredness of the life of all things, people, animals, plants, earth, stones, and water, and their properties. A person guarded an inheritance of natural resources and passed it on to the next generation, undiminished and uncorrupted. The coal company man represented the old non-Indian American dream to exploit and use natural resources for gain, to employ them for economic growth, development, and so-called progress. To the Indians, this was a tradition of death, of conquering and destroying what lived, of killing earth, animals, plants, water, the air, and even people, of making life foul, polluted, barren, and eventually unendurable.
It's encouraging to be able to say that the voices of Indigenous peoples throughout the world are being listened to more and more, first by individuals and eventually by many governments. The United Nations includes Indigenous representatives at nearly every conference they host. Decades ago, that rarely happened.
Our society has for too long made financial wealth and profit our goal. We as a society are only starting to look at the dark side of our exploitation of the natural world. Finally, climate justice and environmental justice are beginning to be considered, though there are still inequities, past and present, to be addressed. We need to ensure that attempts at inclusion are not just window dressing, to make real for everyone the demand of the disabled community. Nothing about us without us.
It's been gratifying to hear in mainstream media and society in general to hear more about environmental news and that more young people are getting involved in environmental issues. It's been terrific. And one thing we need to be proud of is that since 2002, Ecologic has been broadcasting unique environmental programming and that we are way ahead of the news and information on mainstream media, as are so many shows that you folks are privileged to hear on this terrific radio station, WBAI-FM, and we really hope that you folks will support us. The only way that Ecologic and environmental programming is going to continue to be there for you is if we all participate in this listener-sponsored radio station, that you are contributing to it. We need your contribution. We need your support. Your support in activism is also financially supporting the media that you believe in. For those of you who give a few dollars every month to news outlets and various other grassroots organizations, we also need you to give to our organization. You're listening to us. That shows that you care. Please, for the groups, organizations, and news outlets that we often quote from and from which we often get guests for our shows, Greenpeace, Earth Justice, Beyond Nuclear, Beyond Plastics, Sane Energy Project, IPSEC, Food and Water Watch, Clearwater, to name a few. We do want you to support your favorites, but know that by supporting Ecologic, you're supporting those terrific organizations also, because we are bringing their news to you, and we have for more than 20 years. So this is the time when you want to make sure that environmental programming stays on WBAI. It's in danger. The radio station is in danger because finances are always tied at WBAI, but environmental programming is also in danger because, frankly, they're not going to keep audiences who are not part of or contributing to the health of our station. To stay on the air, WBAI needs to know that the audiences that are supporting and participating are there. So please, as Pete Seeger said, to paraphrase, participation, that's what's going to save the human race. Participation is being there physically and being there financially. We want to help you, and we want you to help us. We love you. Thanks.
Make your donation today. You can call 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org. Search for Ecologic to see the gifts available to you with your donation. Did you hear us last week? Shannon and Anthony Pierleone's book, Turtly Devoted, is available with our gratitude for a $45 donation. If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
The How to Recycle label is showing up on more products at the grocery store. The label, actually many variations on a standard label, was created by the Sustainable Packaging Coalition and a recycling nonprofit called Green Blue. The labels provide directions on the proper way to dispose of many types of product packaging, whether recycling or sending to landfills. Green Blue says that there are more than 2,500 variations of the label in circulation on products ranging from cereal boxes to toilet bowl cleaner. Go to www.howtorecycle, that's with the number two, howtorecycle.info for details and check your product packaging.
There's good news from the New Jersey State House in Trenton, itself a rare event. The Senate Energy and Environment Committee passed SCR 43, the Green Amendment, which has been languishing for 6 years. However, all is not sweetness and light. Committee Chairperson Senator Bob Smith noted that this will be a heavy lift. Advocates must be prepared to work hard. Already, even before that vote, the New Jersey Business and Industry Association had posted an editorial raising objections, saying basically, No need for this. Trust the legislature. At the hearing, an industry representative testifying in opposition remarked that, quote, since 1977, because of the New Jersey Pollution Control Act, industry has had the right to pollute. If you pass this right to clean water, industry is out of business. Adding later that this green amendment is just, quote, anarchy disguised as an amendment. We'll keep you posted on the resolution's progress and how to get involved. See ecoradio.org for a link.
We do many stories on plastic pollution, but none are more personal than this one. Plastic is found in our bodies. From sciencealert.com comes an article by Claire Watson about a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which found that microscopic particles of plastic, microplastics, infiltrate our tissues, including the placenta. It's vital that we learn exactly what kinds of risks they could pose to our health. One study found shards of microplastics in fatty deposits surgically removed from patients who had an operation to open up their clogged arteries. Yikes! Plastic is in our arteries! Following patients in the relatively small study for almost 3 years, the researchers found that more than half had polyethylene in arterial plaques, and some also had polyvinyl chloride, PVC, in extracted fat deposits. Lab-based studies suggest microplastics can trigger inflammation and oxidative stress in heart cells and impair heart function, alter heart rate, and cause scarring of the heart in animals. In the study, patients with microplastics in their plaques were more likely to have had a stroke or non-fatal heart attack than people who had no detectable microplastics. The researchers observed plastic fragments with jagged edges inside immune cells and within the fatty plaques, as well as higher levels of inflammatory markers. The article points out that finding microplastics and nanoplastics in plaque tissue is a breakthrough discovery that raises a series of urgent questions. And more research is being done to understand the link between the plastics and our body.
Dr. Helen Caldicott, a former pediatrician and anti-nuclear activist, said that she quit medicine in order to save lives. She's one of the founders of the powerful organization Physicians for Social Responsibility. That's an Australian accent you'll hear.
Things absolutely insane, they say, in very measured, deep tones. Well, I mean, you can't ever get rid of nuclear weapons. And I think, well, bugger it, we will. And who are you to say we can't? And the whole of this incredible cathedral in which we sit with layers of moss and the ferns and the water running and the salmon in the creek earlier on is dependent upon whether or not we do get rid of nuclear weapons.
These people are much more valuable to the planet than sports heroes or film stars and the like who get endless media attention and endless tapes to play to them. These are the leaders of life on Earth, of the planet, and they are absolutely precious beyond belief, much more precious than the value of a big diamond or a big house or the like. And it is imperative that we preserve the tapes of these people, for this is history. We're talking about history, and without history, you remember there's a saying, without understanding history, we're bound to repeat it. Those two people are so profound and so important for the future of life on Earth, and we all should be listening to them and others who follow upon their footsteps.
We have our opinions of celebrities and what they do or should do. Helen Caldicott stressed that we need to listen to the scientists and activists, and they are more important than actors and sports people. A few celebrities realize the impact of using their name and fame to voice their values and have signed on to Nuclear Threat Initiative's hashtag Make Nukes History campaign. The campaign is using the attention to Oppenheimer's Academy Award success and the clout of artists and activists who signed an open letter against nuclear weapons, expecting that people will listen. People power makes a difference, so bringing attention to what needs to be changed is a big step. The letter reads, Oppenheimer depicts the origin story of nuclear weapons, the history of the Manhattan Project, and Robert Oppenheimer's subsequent warnings against an arms race and the development of even more powerful weapons. Oppenheimer was right to warn us. Today, 13,000 nuclear weapons are held by 9 countries. Some are 80 times more powerful than the ones that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. Some of the stars who signed the open letter to make nuclear weapons history include Jane Fonda, Barbara Streisand, Bradley Whitford, Tony Goldwyn, Kristen Stewart, Michael Douglas, Alan Cumming, Bill Nye, Lily Tomlin, Julianne Moore, Lisa Rinna, Harry Hamlin, Emma Thompson, Rosanna Arquette, Viggo Mortensen, Matthew Modine, and J. Robert Oppenheimer's grandson, Charles Oppenheimer. The campaign involves billboards and art installation street posters and the open letter signed by the various stars. In a statement shared with the campaign announcement, Matthew Modine, who was part of Oppenheimer's cast, writes, "Every person should be educated about the incredible destructive power of nuclear weapons. Understanding the threat illuminates a necessary path toward their elimination." After accepting the Oscars for Best Picture and Best Director, Oppenheimer writer-director Christopher Nolan told the press that one of his teenage sons said, "Young people aren't that concerned about nuclear weapons." And he realized that making a movie about the issue might be able to get their attention. "It's not really in the forefront of their fears," he said. "And that did seem to me to be something that this film could, to some extent, help with." What is missing from this important story is the need to end the source of fuel for atomic bombs, which is the nuclear energy industry. We need to stop nuclear power as well as the nuclear arms race. There can be no plutonium for nuclear bombs without nuclear power plants.
How do they make the plutonium? Now, women have always been at the forefront of the environmental movement, even before the phrase environmental movement existed. From Rosalie Edge, who nearly single-handedly turned Hawk Mountain from a shooting gallery to a protected migration peak in Pennsylvania, to Rachel Carson with her book Silent Spring, which is credited with starting the modern environmental movement, to Sandra Steingraber, a biologist and cancer survivor who is leading the ban on fracking and fracking waste in the Finger Lakes region of New York, to Donna Stein, Sally Gellert, J.K. Canepa, and Martha McClintock of the Ecologic Collective. In fact, the book Rachel Carson and Her Sisters about women environmentalists goes all the way back to the 19th century. I've been going to meetings of environmental groups for most of my adult life, and women outnumbered men at least 90% of them. The attendance in eco fairs is majority women and girls. So our Women and the Environment CD collection is unnatural and shows what women power can do and has accomplished. The knowledge and wisdom in those 3 CDs is worth much more than the $75 donation to WBAI to receive them. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to support Ecologic and WBAI.
We welcome your calls, especially on one of today's topics. Our lines are open at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. The Pacifica Women's History Month Thumb Drive contains 50 hours of and about important women, such as Margaret Mead, Molly Ivins, Rachel Carson, Lena Horne, Sarah Vaughan, Emma Goldman, Helen Caldicott, Amy Goodman, and many others. This month only, new BAI buddies get the Women's History Drive as thanks for their generous commitment, along with a membership to WBAI and a tote bag. Go to give2wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 for your donation. Those of you who are already our buddy, the thumb drive can be yours for a donation of $100. And don't forget the CD set for $75. The number to call for phone-in to talk to us is 212-209-2877.
We covered a lot of topics today. And if you have anything to add or ask about any of them, we took sometimes very long articles and summarized them. And so maybe you want to know more about them. We link to each article, except the one about bees waking up, on our website, ecoradio.org, and you can get more information yourself at your leisure. It's www.ecoradio.org, and you'll get a lot of material.
So once again, the number to call in is 212-209-2877. We love to hear from our listeners. We've often gotten stories that we did in future shows from the listener call-ins. So we'd love you to call in and talk about or ask about the shows, the stories that we've done today, or comment on past shows. And
we have some more material. You have to be ready in case something happens. Donna, why don't you start?
Okay, well, just to let you know, there are many solutions to the climate crisis that together could bring relief from the growing threat. Environmentalists have been suggesting solutions for decades. There are good solutions and bad solutions. Renewable sources of electricity and high mileage vehicles are good examples. Much of the energy we pay for in our monthly energy bills doesn't benefit us, but is wasted. Every draft that you feel around doors, windows, and floors in winter also means a loss of air conditioning in summer. You're paying for that. When buildings are built, the people who design, build, and sell the buildings aren't going to use them. They don't need to care what it will cost to use that building, whether an office, a home, or a factory. People think about high mileage cars, but not about what it will cost to heat their new home. It's left up to the users to reduce heat and air conditioning costs as much as possible after the fact. Public policy lags far behind in efficiency standards and funds to make buildings more efficient. Government policy should be advocating the efficiency, training people to make buildings more efficient and helping them find the customers. Efficiency also lowers stress on the electricity grid, which lowers expenses for the utility, which gets it ready for an increase in electric vehicles. Efficiency is the fastest and cheapest way to lower our greenhouse gas emissions, and it creates jobs, too.
And there are terrible high-tech solutions being seriously proposed. They're known as geoengineering, a word that has attracted a lot of conspiracy theorists with little or no knowledge. So the term solar radiation management is becoming an establishment favorite term. Many of these so-called global warming solutions are about blocking the sun, as if the only aspect of climate chaos to worry about is the global warming part. Some corporations and scientists are seriously proposing spraying sulfur dioxide into the air, and the U.S. White House is listening. That's supposed to reflect the sun's energy back into space, but it also would shade crops, forests, and solar panels. Even worse, sulfur dioxide combines with water vapor to create sulfuric acid, which is heavier than air, and there would be a new extreme acid rain falling on our buildings, crops, forests, oceans, and water sources, reminding us older folks of the fight against acid rain in the 1980s. Right now, a bill is traveling through the Rhode Island state legislature to prevent anything that would alter the atmosphere on purpose. It specifically mentions sulfur dioxide. The bill is called the Clean Atmosphere Act. The Clean Atmosphere Act. And it says, it is the legislative intent to preserve the safe, peaceful use of Rhode Island's atmosphere for people, the environment, and agriculture, and to expand upon climate efforts by regulating weather modification and other large-scale atmospheric activities and prohibiting those which are harmful. The bill is written in plain English, not the legalese you usually see from legislatures. I hope the bill passes and is duplicated throughout the U.S., and I want to thank Jill McManus for bringing this to our attention. And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Sally Gellert. The fossil fuel companies are in favor of these speculative technologies, of course, seeing them as a means of keeping sales of their products high. Some people love breaking technology of any kind without considering effectiveness and consequences. Spraying sulfur dioxide in the Northern Hemisphere would alter climate in Africa and Australia, too. Remember Ken's analogy of the foot in the bathtub? And it may motivate them to create new dead zones in the ocean. No, it may motivate them to put sulfuric acid in the atmosphere in their latitudes, and that would create the new dead zones in the ocean and enlarge the ones already there. Solar panels would be less effective, crop yields would be smaller, and people going out in the rain would suffer greatly. There are some geoengineering suggestions that demonstrate how a little bit of knowledge can be worse than none at all. All plants, including algae, absorb carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. Well, with that in mind, someone named Ross George dumped 120 tons of iron dust into the Pacific Ocean in the Pacific Northwest to create an algae bloom, despite all the past experience of the harm that other algae blooms have created. This, obviously, disrupted the balance of nature. The iron filings helped only some types of algae. Many species of algae were crowded out. Not all algae is the same, and all species are part of a healthy, balanced ecosystem.
Another high-tech proposal is artificial trees. About 2 weeks before the film An Inconvenient Truth premiered, a Canadian movie came out that purported to be about climate change, but was just a very long ad for artificial trees. And I mentioned the name of the movie, because they don't deserve any plugging. These fake so-called trees are massive machines to draw carbon dioxide from the air and pump out oxygen, ignoring other greenhouse gases and needing a lot of land on which to operate. Where would they go? Would forests have to be cut down? Farmland or public parks eliminated? The idea of these machines got a big push in response to the Canadian wildfires of last summer. Why not real trees and real forests? And of course, real forests include multiple species of trees with a healthy understoring of smaller plants and the creatures who live there. And it's not something planted by a logging company, which has virtually no inhabitants. You go into a logging company's forest, and sometimes they're state forests. There's no birds in there. There's no butterflies. There's no nothing, because it's a plantation. It's not made for wildlife. It's made for to be cut down later.
Yeah.
I went to a press opening of that movie, that Canadian movie, and I asked them, why not plant real trees? And the publicity person who was running the screening just stared at me like she couldn't believe anybody would think of that question. And it's like, what are you thinking? Well, they're not thinking. They're thinking of somebody's bottom line. But I'm worried that this is going to be seriously considered. It's going to take a small fortune to do. It's going to cost a lot more than actually planting a real forest. And never mind the wildlife. They just want these big machines. These machines are like 100 feet high. I mean, they're gigantic.
They put the little cell phone towers to shame, huh? The little things that they paint green so that you think it's...
When I first saw the green cell phone towers, I couldn't help but laugh. It's like, what do they think?
Do they really think it's green?
Well, yeah, it's green. I guess it's prettier than a cell phone tower. So maybe they're not trying to fool us. They're just trying to make things a little prettier. And I guess there's nothing wrong with a little prettier.
And you know, everything we talk about is about them trying to fool us. It's public relations, PR. It's anything that you hear, and you'll hear this in all the shows in WBAI. It's just why we want you to donate and support WBAI. It's because it's always more than what you hear in the media. You have to look into the fine print, as they used to say in contracts, or they still say in contracts.
Right.
It's knowing that if they say that, as the previous show said, if they say that TikTok is bad, well, why is it bad? And who's saying it's bad? Well, the competitors are definitely saying it's bad.
Those who want to start a war with China really don't like China making money on it.
Yeah. And, you know, and TikTok and the database is already there in the hands of the people you don't like. And do you really trust TikTok information being in the hands of the three-letter organizations in this country more than China, or the corporations more than China? The risk is there for all of them.
They're so similar to each other.
So you have, the bottom line is you have to worry about the getting to the truth.
And that
is listening to WBAI to hear more perspective.
I guess the green cell towers are literally greenwashing.
Oh dear. Oh.
Sorry.
Well, our time does go by fast, and it is time to go. But thanks for joining us. You can read more about today's subjects on Ecologic's website, ecoradio.org. We have information on a wide variety of issues, and you can find links to our previous shows as well. If you'd like a follow-up or news report on any of our previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, and please go to give2wbai.org to become a BAI buddy or choose a premium.
Join us next Wednesday, March 27th, for Electrification, How the Energy Grid Works, and Saving Money with Andy Padian. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic. No dashes.
And yeah, I want to stress give2wbai.org and put in eco-logic in the search box, because we've got a lot of different premiums, CDs of radio shows, lots of different environmental movies. There's a lot of stuff up there, and you'll find something that you're interested in at give2wbai.org. And we welcome you to get involved at WBAI. Check the dbai.org homepage for the meeting section has dates and times. And, of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen, from rent to the station to the engineers that make the station go, and to the transmitter that let you hear what we are putting out. Pledging as an Ecologic BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And we are always glad to have you with us, Ecologic, live on the archives. And we're always glad for you to make call-ins. So next time we're going to give you the call-in number a little sooner. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gillard.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, March 27th at 10 a.m. for Electrification. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between excellent shows, Covert Action Bulletin, and Living for the City. Check our website for details, and thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
Thank you. This is Charles Barron. I invite you to join a memorial tribute to Revolutionary Warrior and Liberation Activist Ralph Poynter. The event will take place Thursday, March 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Riverside Church in Manhattan. Ralph dedicated his life to social justice from his courageous direct actions in the 60s, demanding community control over the New York City schools, to his leadership of the successful campaign to free unjustly imprisoned people's lawyer, Lynn Stewart, to his unending commitment to freeing U.S. political prisoners. And Ralph was a program host and board member here at WBAI. So join this free tribute on March 21st at 5 p.m. To register and for more information, visit freemumia.com. That's freemumia.com or call 917-603-6160.
All right, this is a stick-up. Women and children jump off the train. The rest of you, on the floor. I said pronto!
But kind sir, this isn't just any train. It's the Arts Express. We're in the middle of a fascinating interview with the major film director. And following that will be a review of a new indie feature. And then there's a reading from one of the most stimulating poets in the U.S.
That does sound interesting. Well, in that case, let's all retire to the bar car and listen. Let's keep that big train a-rolling!
That's Arts Express Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with host Prairie Miller and co-host Jack Shalom.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Living for the City is coming up in a couple of minutes. Please do stay tuned.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not,
close your eyes for a second, and as a child, imagine flowing in and out of consciousness as you and your family members are rescued from a ravaging fire. Men who did not know me or my family from Adam. Men who, without their efforts, my family would have been devastated, if not worse. And they do it day in and day out. As I was removed from the fire scene by those heroic men, I said to myself that if I ever got the opportunity to become a fireman, I would. And if I succeeded, I hope I could be equally as brave and become a community hero.
Dury Smith, one of many community heroes, part of a jam-packed edition of Living for the City Wednesday, March 20th at 11 a.m. over listener-sponsored commercial-free WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Establishment media sucks, all gets light and so good luck. We can't afford why he's fomenting this. Watch and see as his jackal comedian speeds and jumps the medium and hits him head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
Guess what? They're adding another night of Jimmy Dore on WBAI. That's the point here. You turn in Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight for the Jimmy Dore Show. That's right. They've added an additional show each week for you on WBAI in New York because the world's messed up. That's the Jimmy Dore Show with me, Jimmy, Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight on Free Speech, Peace, and Justice Radio, WBAI New York.